This week I was talking to somebody. I won't mention who it was, but I was talking about how hard it was when we were in lockdown and doing church online, how it's very different to coming out to church service, you know, and everyone's here and you're more focused. It's a lot harder to focus when you're at home because you generally made sure you had a cup of tea or a coffee to beside you, and you've got your slippers on and you're in your comfortable lounge chair, and it's easy to just sort of tune out a little bit, and you get so comfortable you sort of find it hard to connect. Well, I do find it interesting that that's probably the predicament that a lot of people are at home today. You've probably got your cuppa beside you right now, and you've probably got your slippers. But the title of the message this morning is A Call to the Comfortable. All right? A Call to the Comfortable. So if you're feeling at home comfortable today, this might be a message just for you. Now, if you're here and you're feeling comfortable, it could be a message for you as well. If you don't feel comfortable, well, that's not a message for you maybe. But nonetheless, I just thought that was interesting that that's the topic or the title this morning. Let's pray and then we'll have a look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the day. And Lord, we do put aside this time and ask that your hand will be upon us. That Lord, your Spirit will be the one who works in and through your preacher and in us all, dear Lord, that, Lord, you will minister, illuminate your word, speak to us through it, and, Lord, encourage and challenge or teach whatever you see fit this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that most, if not all, don't like is to be interrupted when you're trying to do something. Trying to fix something on the car, which I rarely ever do. But then you get a phone call from that electricity company wanting you to change, you know, and you think, I don't want to be interrupted at this time. You're busy. Or maybe you ladies, you're in sewing or cooking, and then your husband calls you to come and help hold something while he's trying to fix the car. And you're interrupted with what you're trying to do. Or you're in a rush to get somewhere and then someone just rings up because they're a little bit bored and they just want to have a chat, you know. And that's nice, but at that point in time when you have all these things you want to do, you don't really want that interruption. I know some people, they have their life so scheduled every day of every week that they feel like they're always being interrupted because they run to such a schedule and there's always something wanting to change that. And so they're always frustrated that someone's interrupting them. Well, the fact is we all have interruptions in our lives. Some are good interruptions and some are bad interruptions, but we have them. Question is, what about when God interrupts us? What about when God wants us to do something? He wants us to go somewhere, or he wants us to change what we're doing, and he interrupts our comfortable life. How do you respond to God when that happens? That's the biggest question. Do you act like when you see, we don't have salesmen come door to door these days very often, but do you act like that and pretend you're not home? Sorry, God, I'm not here. I can't hear what you're saying. Or when you realize that it's someone you don't want to talk to, someone trying to sell you something, you hang up. Do you find you do that in your own heart? Lord, I know you're speaking to me, but I'm just hanging up. I don't want to listen to what you have to say. Or do you do the bare minimum? And as you do it, you huff and puff, showing your displeasure. Maybe a little bit like kids, and I also would put husbands in that boat when your wife comes home with a boot full of shopping and ask for help to get the shopping out. You know, you do it, but you do it with a bit of huffing and puffing as you go. Is that how you respond when God interrupts your nice, comfortable life? Well, in the Bible, we see that God or Jesus interrupted a lot of people's lives for all different reasons. And I would like you to turn to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at a time when Jesus interrupted the life of Peter. Peter was having a rather, I suspect, comfortable life, but then Jesus came along and interrupted in many a ways. And I think that most people in Australia enjoy a very comfortable life to a certain degree. Sure, there are things that we would like to change in our life, but on a whole, compared to most people, we have a very comfortable life. And so when God wants us to do something, it's so much harder because we are so set in our ways and so comfortable in what we're doing. And I would like to look at how this same thing happened to Peter, and I trust that we might be someone who responds in the same way as Peter did at this time. What I want us to first of all see from this event in chapter 5 of Luke is Jesus calls the comfortable to serve and to use what they have. And if you're a Christian, you can be assured that Jesus will call you to serve in some way and use what you have. We read here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, which we know is Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So here we have Jesus teaching the multitude by this lake, and the crowd began to grow to the point where I think Jesus could feel that he was being pushed further or closer and closer to the water. And so there he sees some boats from some fishermen, and he gets this great idea that he will just pull himself away from the shore and there use this boat as a pulpit to teach the people. And we see here that he needed Peter's boat to be able to just sail or just paddle out a little way to be able to do this. Now we read here that Peter had just finished fishing all night, right? And he's cleaning his nets. So that means he's on his way home. And I admit, I am not a fisherman. I don't really like fishing, but I do go and do it every now and then. And it's exciting when you catch something, admittedly, but I certainly do not like the cleaning of the fish. That's one part I don't like. I remember Tim Wilson, I don't know if he still got it, had a little secret spot where to catch fish at Lake Epilock. And this is when Josh was little, maybe 6, 7, and I said, look, I'll take you fishing with Mr. Wilson. And so he could see what it's like to catch a fish. And so went out, and sure enough, we're going along. He said, put out your line here. And he said, it won't be within a minute, you'll probably catch a fish. And boom, yes, away we went. And I have pictures on my phone still of Josh lying there with at least 25 fish that he caught, and that's not counting the ones we threw back. He had a great day. Go fishing with Mr. Wilson if you want to catch fish. Now, that was exciting. But then we went back to Tim's place, and then, like, I wasn't interested in eating them. I just wanted to catch them, you know. And then Tim started to clean them, as Tim would. He wants to use them, and I was not interested in doing that. I said, do you want to just keep them? You know, you can have them. You clean them and keep them. And so we didn't go through the process of cleaning the fish. We just caught them. And that's how I feel like. And I suspect that Peter probably felt very similar. All night, he hadn't caught any fish. He's there fixing his, cleaning up his nets. And then Jesus says, can I use your boat? And can you just sail out a little bit so I can use it to preach? Now, Peter could have said a lot of things. Could have said, look, I'm really tired. Can we do it another day? I'm very busy. I can't really do that. I just want to get home. I couldn't be bothered. There are so many things that Peter could have done, but we discover that he was willing to serve and help the Lord Jesus and use what he had at this time. And so the Lord hopped in the boat and Peter took him out that little way. Just a little inconvenience in his life. And the one thing that we can be very sure of, as I said, as believers, every one of us is going to be asked by the Lord Jesus to serve him and use what we have in some way at some times. Sometimes it might be just a little thing, like just hopping in the boat and paddling out a little bit, or it might be a big thing, but I'll guarantee generally at that time when you are asked or called upon to serve, it's going to feel like an inconvenience. I had this planned, I was wanting to do this, or I'm tired, and now you want me to do this? And it will feel like a call to the comfortable. And it will feel like an inconvenience. And you know, that's the call of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he has called us to serve as well and not to be served. When we come to church, don't come with the attitude, I'm here for people to serve me. We come that we may have opportunities to serve the body in one way or another. And that can vary depending on our abilities, our gifts, our talents, and our possessions and whatever it may be. But we are here to serve one another. And at this time in the life of Peter, he allowed the Lord Jesus to interrupt what he was doing, cleaning up his nets. And he was willing to allow Jesus to use his boat and himself by rowing it out and using it as a pulpit to preach from. And I suspect he didn't regret that day when he could sit there and listen to the Lord Jesus preach. And brethren, Jesus is going to want to use you to serve. He's going to want to use some of your possessions, some of your talents. And the question is, how will you respond when you do that? When he asks you to do that, do you respond willingly like Peter? Or do you do the, I pretend I didn't hear that, or no, I'll put it off to another day, or whatever it may be. If we have the attitude of Peter, we're going to enjoy some blessings along the way. If we're willing to serve the Lord, even if it's in a little way, and use what we have when he asks us to use them. That's the first thing we see from this story. But we see here that Jesus, his interruption got a bit bigger after this. And I want you to show, as a second point, Jesus does want to show his power to the comfortable. Do you want God to use you? You want to see him do things through you? Well, you have to be willing to step out of that comfortable life to be able to do that. But we see here in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, so now he's thinking, okay, everyone's finished. I can finish what I was doing and go home. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And so this favor has turned from being stopped doing what you were doing to just a little row out, sit there for a while, allowing to preach, to now gathering all the nets and everything and going out and fishing again. And so this interruption is getting far worse in a humanly speaking way. But in reality, it's getting better for Peter. Because we read here in verse 5 onwards, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. This feels like going out with Mr. Wilson, all right? And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So what we see here is Jesus, the carpenter, telling the experienced fisherman where to go and catch fish. And that would be a little bit like me going and trying to tell Tim where to go fishing. I'll tell you, the reason why we asked Tim is we had gone a few weeks earlier to go fishing, to catch some fish, and I took them out on the shore and we couldn't catch anything, you know. And I thought, I got to give my kids an experience of catching fish, especially Josh, he was right into it at that stage. And so that's why I called upon Tim for help. All right, but here we have the carpenter telling the experienced fisherman how to fish. And he tells him to fish in an unlikely place and time, in deep water and bright daylight. And so that's not usually how you catch fish. And it's true, Peter was rather skeptical. He could have been frustrated in this longer interruption that was happening in his life on this day, but he still decided to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And notice closely what he said in his reaction. It says, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." That's my experience. That's the reality. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." In other words, because you've said it, Lord, I will do it. Doesn't make sense. I've tried already, hasn't worked, but because you have now told me to do it, I will do it. And these are the words that each one of us should be found saying when we hear the call of God to do something in our life. And there's no denying that sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to do some very inconvenient and maybe even uncomfortable things, things that could prove to be embarrassing. And the first call is that you don't do it. And I'll give you a little tip, even to this day, if someone rings up and says, "Oh, look, we're having a special anniversary or a missionary conference or a camp, and would you like to be the guest speaker?" To this day, I get scared and think, oh, no, because I think I'm going to go there and I'm going to make a mess of it and embarrass myself. Can't you get someone else who could do a good job? And that's how we all feel when we get asked to do something. Well, maybe we don't all feel like that, but often we feel, why me? All I'm going to do is embarrass myself. The question is, are you going to do it because the Lord has asked you to do it? "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do such and such." You know, there are going to be things that are going to feel very uncomfortable doing, things that are going to interrupt a nice, comfortable life. And when this happens, too often we will pretend we didn't hear that call of God, or we push aside that pricking of the heart or that obvious thing that God wants us to be doing, and we don't do what he says. And that's often why we don't see the work of God in our own life. You know, Jesus was in control of the sea and the fish, everything. And if Peter had said no, he would have missed out on a wonderful blessing. But because he said yes, he got to see something I suspect he had never seen before. I don't think he had ever pulled in that much fish that both boats were filled and they were starting to sink. That's not a nightmare, that's like a dream, like a vision of glory for a fisherman. I don't think he would have ever imagined that could ever have happened. But yet, because he did something and he was willing to step out of his comfortable life and do what Jesus wanted him to do, he was willing to do it, he saw Jesus do something miraculous. Yet too often, we're so comfortable in our own little world, we're unwilling to break our routines. When God calls us to do something or go somewhere or be something, after we've analyzed it thoroughly and we come to the conclusion that we would be better off sticking to our routines in our comfortable life. And then we come to church and we sit there and wonder why we don't see God do anything in our life. Why don't I ever see God use me? And it's because of that. And if you want to see God do some marvelous things through you, then you have to be willing to go with him when he asks you to do something. And it might mean missing out on some comfortable times and breaking some routines. I wonder, what amazing things, what blessings have you missed out on so far in your life? Because when God prompted you and pricked you and showed you through his word and through maybe counsel that he wanted to use you in a particular way, he wanted to use some of your belongings or whatever it may be as well, or your time, your body, your voice, whatever it may be, and you've said, no, I'm very comfortable how I'm living and I don't think it's going to work, and you say no, and you've missed out on blessings. Maybe in heaven you'll get told, that'll be hard, won't it? When you hear, if he does this, such and such, I gave you these gifts, this is how I wanted to use you, but you said no when I asked you to do it. Wouldn't that, I don't know what that'll feel like. I probably will all know what it feels like a little bit if he does that. But let's make sure we don't miss out on the blessings that we can have in the future. And if you know God is asking you to use something you have or use you or do something, and even though it's going to be embarrassing or hard or break your comfortable life, can I encourage you to do it so you can see the blessings of God? And so this was the story so far for Peter. Hard night, not enjoying anything, washing up, wanting to get home probably. Jesus comes, can I just use your boat just for a little time? Sail, okay, we'll do that. And then he says, can you go out deeper? Okay, we'll go out deeper. Okay, this night is gone completely. And then in verse 10, we read this. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, we know in the context of this, what Jesus is saying now is, Peter, you're no longer going to catch fish. I'm calling you to come with me and catch men. So now Jesus wants him to make major changes. This wasn't a little inconvenience. This wasn't doing a little bit extra than what you thought. First, it was row a little out. Then it was go out deeper. Now it is leave everything and follow him. That is a major change, a major interruption into his life. But look at what Peter and the other men did. It says verse 11, and when they had brought their nets to land, they forsook all and followed him. Boy, if he was having a comfortable life, it just changed very quickly, didn't it? Overnight. And remember, these were fishermen. They would have been fishermen their entire lives. They would have built their whole life around this purpose. More than likely, they didn't know anything else. Imagine if Jesus said, I'm going to get you to go and preach to hundreds of people, and these are fishermen, and they're used to just being by themselves out on a boat. How scary would that have been? But here, this was a major change. And the temptation would have been to stick with what they knew. Isn't that the temptation? I know what you want, but I'm sticking with what I know. If you just stick with what you know when God wants you to do something, I tell you, you'll miss out on lots of blessings. I tell you, that was the biggest temptation when I believe God was calling me down here. The temptation was, stick to what you know there in Coffs Harbour. And I couldn't, that was a struggle for me. I would have missed out on so many blessings if I had stuck with what I knew. Or the temptation would have been to stick to a secure income that he had enjoyed for a long time, or the familiar surroundings, or stick to what was comfortable and safe, Isn't that all the things that we base a lot of our opinions on? It's what I know. It's what is safe. It's what's familiar. It's what I have been able to have security in. And now you want me to go do this and change? Well, that's what Peter had to do. And you know, often the Lord struggles to get people to just use their boat and paddle out a little way and just be used a little bit, let alone make big changes in their life. And I tell you, if you're unwilling to do the little things, can I just use you here? Can I just put your uncomfortable life to the side for just a little bit now? And you refuse, you will never make those big changes. And if Peter had never made that big change, think of all the things he would have missed out on. Seeing all those miracles, see people get saved, be used by God, see the glory of God in up on that mountain. He would have missed out on so many wonderful experiences and the being used by God. Yet instead, he said he forsook all and followed him. And so Jesus called them out of a place called comfortable, and they responded willingly. And when you read the Word of God, like it or not, Jesus has called us all to do that. Sometimes he calls us to leave sin, and that can become comfortable. And he calls us to a life of righteousness, and it's hard to break those bondages of sin. But he calls us to do that. Sometimes, well, we know he tells us to deny ourselves and to follow Christ. That's just for all of us. It's really hard to deny yourself, isn't it? And this is the big one. Give up your own dreams and seek Christ's plans for you. You know, that's not for the missionary or the pastor. That's for everyone. Christ has a plan of how he wants to use you in your everyday life and in the local church. Regardless if whatever it is, and it could be working in a full-time position somewhere as a whatever you may be this time and being a witness where you are and being used in that way, as well as using your spiritual gifts in the local church and so on, but you have to be willing to deny maybe what your plans are and do that for Christ, because you might be thinking, no, my plan is to build a little cottage up on this furthest mountain somewhere so I can have this beautiful view and I can sip lattes all day and just meditate on how green the trees are. And that sounds beautiful. But if that's not what God would have you to do, then you have to choose. Peter and the other disciples couldn't have remained in their boats and followed Jesus at the same time. All right? Not possible. Yet I think there's a lot of Christians, and if you could have a look, that's what they are. They got one foot in the boat wanting to fish, and they got one foot trying to follow Jesus, and you can do neither. You can't follow Jesus, and you can't fish when you're trying to do both. I wonder, are you willing to give up the comfortable life if that's what it is? Or comfortable times, and do what God would have you to do. You know, what I see from this little account with Peter is some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Do we allow him to use us and what we have when he calls us to do it? Are we willing to do things that don't make sense or seem very uncomfortable if this is what he would have us to do? And are we willing to forsake everything of our dreams if that's what he wants? If it means doing something that God has called us to do. Well, Peter did it. Other disciples have done it. Thousands of people have done it since then as well, as they've followed the Lord Jesus. And I trust you can put yourself in the same boat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day. Thank you that, Lord, you don't just love us, You don't just want to have fellowship with us. But Father, you want to take us as feeble and frail and as sinful and unreliable as we are and actually use us for your glory's sake. Lord, that's a miracle in itself. And I pray that you'll take our vessels, our earthen vessels of our body, of our mind, and Lord, the things that you have blessed us with our material things, and we will use them for you as you ask us to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.